Mingalaba, Metta Yogi Dwe. Welcome, dear Metta Meditators, to our online session today. And as usual, we will start with some sharing. Anybody who feels inclined to share something about their practice, please unmute yourself and talk or raise your digital hand. And it doesn't need to be some super big, deep experience, but just something that you have experienced in the last 24 hours. This is so precious and helpful for others to hear. And it also nourishes and nurtures the connection between us. I see there is Francesca, please.
Yesterday was quite a difficult day because one of my closest friends was unwell. She went to the emergency room and she's been hospitalized. And by the blood test, she's been diagnosed with cancer in liver and in the gallbladder. Now she's waiting for the body to be full scanned to understand the global situation, which appear anyway to be quite serious. And everything that yesterday you said about the dear person just materialized in a second, because I know that this experience is part of her path in this life, but at the same time I'm sorry because there will be sorrow and pain and a lot of fatigue for her to go through this experience. And if I think to the possibility of her passing away, I know I'll miss her a lot. I would miss her a lot. So it's been really tough yesterday to keep concentration. I don't know how many times I had to pick up again and to start again, and that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Francesca, for this sharing. Yes, Isha?
Continuing on from yesterday where I had felt that this was a very, very hard retreat for me because I kept falling asleep, I found yesterday I had a breakthrough. I realized that having been in hospital for a month, my heart had closed to Metta. I had been on survival mode. And having spoken about that yesterday, I found that my Metta came to me. My heart has started to open again, and I'm very thankful to having continued. Very, very thankful. Very thankful for your words and for your own belief and care, because I had wondered what am I doing here when I have nothing. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Isha, for this sharing. Sky, did you raise your hand? Ah. But Iris, yes, please.
I wish the best for Francesca at first. And yesterday I did Metta for my sister, and the sentences were the sentences were there without any feelings, any meta. I said the sentences, and suddenly I noticed the sentence in me that I'm proud to have such a sister. Then I realized it is the near enemy. And then I tried to change something at first, but then I could remember I only had to go on with the sentences. I don't have to do nothing. And so I did, but yes. And sometimes there were the sentences and I lost the object. I said only may happy and so on without the person who is directed to. And yes, it was not so intense, the practice. Thank you.
Thank you, Iris, for the sharing. Somebody else? Yes, Bridget.
It happened a day or two ago. I suddenly forgave someone. The doctor misdiagnosed my eye problem, and I'd been holding anger to the doctor, and suddenly I just forgave him somehow.
Thank you, Bridget, for this sharing. Maybe one more person? Yeah, Monique, please.
I had yesterday a short experience with what you had, Aria, met a snake. You had it with the snake and the frog, and I had it with the cat and the birds. There are many birds in my garden who pick the food I hang there for them in trees and etc. And it was the cat. Orange cat that and I must take to the window, when otherwise the cat would pick one of the birds. But yeah, that was nice to the birds, but evil to the cat. But I don't know what else to do. And another thing I noticed yesterday was it differs for the person you refer your meta to. I can immediately feel the benefactor could easily receive my metta in her heart. I sense not her metta to her, but I have immediately a feeling about this. And yesterday I did metta for the beloved person, that was my friend Anouk, and I she slurped up my meta and my heart opened and opened, and I felt, yeah, you really this was very easily to open my heart yesterday. Normally metta is very dry at that moment for me, every time refer those sentences, it come a bit automatically. I put in a suggestion what Aya Vignani made in the interview group, alone, one word or two words, and that was, and I knew Anouk, my friend, had, she is out of energy. Just I say, may you be happy and have a great vitality. And she sucked up my meta. It was very nice. This was fun to share. Sorry for my English, but it's the way it is.
Yes, thank you, Monique, for your sharing. Thank you, everybody, for this sharing. I just want to share a little piece of practical information. We have been asked by a few people how to make a donation for Ivy Aronyani and myself for teaching this retreat. We will give this information towards the end of the retreat. I will send out an email with all the necessary information. And later on, we will also say a few words about that. So just that you know. And now I hand over to Aya Vignani, who will continue with her reflections on metta and the guided meditation.
Thank you, dear Aria. I'm really touched as usual with all the sharings. And what you just said, Monique, about apologizing for your English, it struck me that our common language here is metta. And it's just very, very touching. Many of us speak different languages to communicate with each other, but the metta is in common with all of us. And it's such a beautiful thing. And also very touched by what people have been sharing in the small groups, because as you all know by now and have spoken of, many of you, is the ups and downs of the practices, the challenges of this practice, and how metta, as cultivating metta as a training, cultivating metta as a purification, inevitably brings into our view, brings to the surface all those things that aren't metta. Beginning with what Aria was talking about yesterday, the near and far enemies, and how each category causes a certain flavor of ametta to surface. When I say ametta in Pali, that is not metta. So at first, with the dear friend, with the benefactor, we see more often emotional involvement that's sticky. And today we'll change the category to another flavor altogether of something that is not metta. because we go to the person we don't know very well, the neutral person. Or that person who we neither love nor hate. We don't have a strong feeling about. Often they're people we don't know. And this category, it doesn't have the emotional experiential flavor that either the dear friends have or the enemies have. It's kind of bland. And this is another aspect of the practice that is challenging, up and down. This, because we come to the desire to have an open-hearted, loving connection with all beings. And we encounter, who is this person? And we encounter habitual tendencies of the heart to just not care. And it can be quite shocking. Somebody was mentioning in a small group how shocking it can be when we see some of these things in the mind. It's like, ugh, I didn't know that was there. But I want to emphasize a little bit in this reflection how important it is that we have these experiences, that we encounter habitual patterns of disconnection, of not caring, of clinging, of aversion. We tend to assess our metta practice and how it's going based on our experience. Unpleasant ones, wholesome states versus unwholesome ones. Whether the metta is flowing easily or whether we have to come back to it again and again and again. And much of this assessment is incorrect. Because when we can't connect, for example, with this category we're coming to today, or when we feel attachment, or when we feel aversion, we have to engage in the practice with a little bit more energy to start again, over and over again. And I think, as you said so beautifully this morning, Francesca, it's like, I don't know how many times I had to start over. This is actually really fruitful practice, because every time we have to bring the energy in to start over again, we're creating a flow of energy that goes to metta, and we're deepening the habit of going to metta as opposed to disconnection. And over the long term, the more we start over again, the deeper our metta habit will be. It's not immediately obvious in the short term. But the more energy we bring in to start over, to just let some unwholesome habit be and feed the metta, to try to connect, even if it feels mechanical, the more we do this, the more sometime, some moment in the future, the metta will arise spontaneously, and we don't know where that came from. Well, it came from all that energy you spend now. And sometimes it can be quite surprising. We think nothing's happening in the practice. And so we assess the practice and say, it's not working, or it's boring, or all these unwholesome states are coming up, or I can't connect with this neutral person. And it's easy to fall into states of disappointment, doubt, aversion about the practice. But that's just the short-term view. Even when that's happening, it's so common for people then to get up from their cushion and go outside and encounter somebody doing something and have a spontaneous moment of metta. And often people say, it's like, I was so surprised, where did that come from? Well, it came from starting over again when it was hard. It came from being patient, being persevering, just one step at a time, one phrase at a time, starting over again, inclining to metta even if it feels like a struggle. So especially now in the middle of the retreat, or entering the middle of the retreat, to judge the practice by what's arising in terms of your meditative experience. Judge your practice by how successful are you at just starting again, whether you feel open-hearted metta or not. Whether you can easily connect or not, whether unwholesome mind states are arising or not, judge your practice by your willingness to come back again and again and your ability to do that. It's such an interesting paradox in the practice. We can have a mind full of difficult mind states and have metta for that being in the middle of that. Oh, this is so, may I be at ease anyway. So, never mind what's arising in the practice. What are you doing with it? What attitude do you have in relationship to it? Because this is a training. And the more we train the mind, the more the mental will arise. And so if there is an attitude of kindness towards the unwholesome mind states and this person who's struggling with practice, that will serve you very well. The purification of heart and the natural experience of full-hearted metta follows from that. Maybe now, maybe later, maybe the next moment. And this is another thing to emphasize. Because that purification follows naturally from the training. The more we incline the mind to metta anyway, the more the purification begins to pick up momentum. And we don't know what the next moment will bring. So to emphasize that aspect of, I don't know, the next moment, it's totally possible to be full of anger in one moment and full of pure metta in the very next moment. Boom, just like that. It's not uncommon that this happens for people. So be careful of how you relate to difficult mind states, what you think about them, the stories you tell about them. It's like, oh, so much anger. This is such a pattern for me. I'll never get out of this. That kind of thinking actually has nothing to do with the really vibrant reality of how quickly the mind can change. It denies the truth of change and denies the potential of the mind to change in each moment, which that's the nature of the mind. And the other thing to watch out for is when you are inclining the mind to metta again and again, and if the practice seems to be more in a struggling place than in an easy place. Another attitude to pay attention to is, how do you relate to results? Because often we're happy to incline the mind and heart to metta if we think, well, if I do this, then that will go away. But then when it doesn't go away, or maybe it gets stronger, whatever that is, that unwholesome, difficult experience, then we're disappointed, then doubt comes in. It's really, really, really common for people to say in a report, or they'll report the practice, it's like, oh, I had this really difficult mind state, and oh, it was just wouldn't go away, and I was radiating metta, and I kept inclining to metta, but it didn't work. That mind state didn't go away. I chuckle because I've done this myself. I think we've all done this. And the basic misunderstanding there, the attitudinal misunderstanding, is that we radiate metta, or we incline to metta to train the heart, to incline to care. We pay attention in order to care, not in order that something go away. So if you have a bargaining attitude in the mind, whatever you want to go away probably won't. That's just the nature of things. So can we radiate metta without any attachment to outcome internally or external? That's our challenge in the practice. And what gets in the way with that, of course, is this idea based on ego. It's like we want something to be a certain way. We want ourselves to be a certain way. We want other people to be a certain way. And the recorded talk today is all about that. But just one thing to add to that, or to emphasize with that, is notice today in the practice how different it feels. Notice today in the practice how maybe there might be a more of a challenge to connect because we don't know the story of this person. What that shows us is how our personal stories get involved in the practice. We have my dear friend, my benefactor, my enemy, myself. But the neutral category is such a beautiful category because it shows us metta without that desire for any particular outcome that I was just talking about. It shows us the potential for that, and we're often a little lost because it's like, well, I don't know this person. And so I don't know what happiness means for them. Or, you know, I just can't connect with this person. Please don't worry if that's your experience. This is the ego feeling lost. And this is the doorway into that beautiful quality of metta that doesn't need a result. Because who knows? We don't even know their names sometimes. So this is a beautiful category to use to begin to touch the purity of metta, the boundlessness of metta. And the quality of metta that doesn't need anything from the other person. has no agenda whatsoever. And then assess your practice based on how many, how can you start over again and again and again? Is there patient, consistent inclination or a willingness to start over if there isn't this continuity of metta? The groundlessness of the practice, and I use that word to mean the quality of the practice that requires that we suspend any ideas of what it should look like. So that quality of metta that doesn't know is actually really, really powerful. Because this is the metta without barriers. This is the boundlessness of metta. So, regardless of the struggle we face, the ego-based struggles we face, how well the practice is going is based on more of that patient, persistent, really trusting in the not knowing, and to radiate metta anyway. So let's go to the formal practice now. And choosing, as we're beginning, a neutral person, choosing to begin within this category, somebody relatively easy. So before you close your eyes and begin to settle into the practice, taking a moment to see who naturally comes to mind. A neutral person is somebody who we neither love nor hate. Often they're strangers, but somebody, an easy person, is somebody whose face comes to mind. Perhaps somebody in a shop we go to often. They work at the cash register. Or a neighbor we see walking the dog every day. Somebody who lives down the street, who we might be familiar with but don't know their story. It doesn't have to be anybody you know. In fact, often you won't know anything about them. Perhaps it's somebody here who hasn't said anything, and you just have this sense of who they are from their little square on the screen. See who comes to mind, first thought, best thought, and stay with this person. And if you do not know their name, you can just say, well, may my neutral person be, or may this neutral person be, whatever your phrase is. Sometimes people give this person a nickname, and you can do that if it helps you. So resting back in the posture, closing your eyes when you're ready. Connecting with this body in this moment, however it's easiest for you right now. Perhaps with the posture, predominant physical sensation. perhaps feeling the breath coming and going. Perhaps connecting with the heart center. With this kind, direct, friendly awareness. Before beginning with this neutral person, taking a couple of minutes to radiate metta for yourself. Reconnecting with your natural wish for health, for happiness, for safety, for ease. Using the phrase that you've used. Remembering this natural wish for your own well-being, whatever that feels like, however you articulate it for yourself. And now bringing to heart and mind this neither loved nor hated person, this neutral person, with either an image or a felt sense. And just as I want to be happy, so may you be happy. Even not knowing this being, understanding that they, like us, just want to be happy. Connecting with the common humanity of this person. Repeating your phrase for this person, just as you do for yourself. And in the silence of the sitting, continuing with this category just as you have done with the others. whether you can connect easily or not, whether you can imagine this person easily or not, just beginning again and again and again. Training the heart to care, even if there is not knowing, just because this other person, like me, wants to be happy. And turning to that over and over and over again. So thank you for your practice, everybody. And in the formal practice, the sitting, the walking, please continue with this neutral person, this neither loved nor hated person. And as it says in the chant, to all as to myself. So if you struggle to connect, just remember common humanity. Just remember they, like you, want to be happy, healthy, at ease, secure, safe. It's universal. And in the general activities as before, the practice can be more flexible, fluid, free-flowing, depending on your circumstances. And particularly with this category, if you happen to go out for a walk or out in the world somewhere, you will be amongst numerous unknown beings. Just people passing by, birds passing by, and many, many beings we don't even know about. We don't love them, we don't hate them, we don't even know about them. So the world is full of neutral beings. And allow yourself to really connect with this. So as you go to the markets or commuting to work or just looking out your window, may all the beings out there be happy. I don't even know who they are, but may they be happy. And really connecting with the purity of this metta that doesn't have any agenda. It's really a doorway into a powerful, very beautiful state of heart. So with that, I wish you a fruitful day, afternoon, evening of practice, and turn us over to Aria, who will take your questions and guide us in the chanting.
Thank you, sister. And so now the space is open for your questions.
Hello, Aria. I have a question. It's maybe a silly problem, but when I start doing metta for a neutral person, it almost immediately is not a neutral person anymore, because there is a connection. So I find that very, it happens fast. And it's a package delivery man, and I really don't know him, but the connection is there as soon as I start the metta. So he's not neutral anymore, but I want to keep going, but I just wanted to share, maybe you have some insights.
Yes, thank you, Anna. Good that you bring this up, because this is something that can happen through this practice. As you say, it's this delivery man, you don't know him, you don't know any circumstances of his life. But because you open up your heart to this person and wish him, her to be happy and well, that makes something with the relationship to this person. And so this person is no longer kind of neutral. That's okay, and it's not a silly question or a silly thing to mention, but from your experience, you notice this, and that's the way it is for you. But with the practice, staying in this category, stay with this person. Continue to cultivate metta for this person. And, when we talk of a neutral person, Ivy Oranyani has mentioned it, neither loved nor hated. You know, it's more or less neutral. I mean, complete neutrality is very difficult. You know, as soon as we maybe see this person or hear this person, you know, slightly on the positive side or slightly on the negative side. But, you know, that's generally speaking. So yes, go ahead with your kind of neutral person. Then next we have Leslie.
Thank you, Aria. Well, during the session just now, I found myself moving ahead, skipping ahead to the next category, which I I know I shouldn't do, but I did. And I was just, my question is that as the metta develops, is it also a matter that there's less reactivity to people regardless of what category they're in, so that even if the metta is very strong, it's not a matter of a kind of attached love? But yeah, I think I'm answering my own question. But please, I think I've asked it, so I'll wait for your wisdom.
Yes, thank you, Leslie. As you say and know, with the deepening of the metta practice, yes, this lessens the reactions to different people, regardless of the different categories. You know, this is the purification of the heart and mind, the purification of our habitual reactive patterns, and, you know, towards all categories of people or living beings, usually there are habitual reactive patterns. But as metta is strengthening, getting stronger, purer, you know, free from the defilements, any defilements, so yes, there is less reaction to these beings, human beings, other beings, regardless in what category they are or, you know, they have been. Okay, I hope.
Thank you.
I have answered this. And then I see Claudia's hand. Or less. Now I'm not sure if you want to add something, Leslie.
Oh, yes, there was another bit coming along, but I can leave that till another time. Thank you.
Okay. Then Claudia, please.
Yes, last night I was awake for quite long, and it didn't work out very well for me to radiate metta to my friends. I was aware that there's attachment also. And then I sent, I directed metta to myself, or I radiated metta to myself in a way that I wasn't sure, but it felt good. I said, may I be filled with love. May I be filled with love. And I thought, oh, this is an easier way to feel warmth and love in my whole body and being and in the heart. And my question is, what do you think about this sentence?
Yes, thank you, Claudia. As we have said, you know, the quality of metta in our heart is just this benevolence, well-wishing, friendliness, or unconditional love. And so with the practice of metta meditation, we use a phrase, a wish, to... now I'm lacking a word. To verbalize this inner metta attitude. Whether it's, may I be happy and peaceful, may I be filled with love, may I be free from suffering. You know, as we said, something we can connect with, a wish. And then, as we do the wish, we need to be careful that we do not do it with expectations. You know, may I be happy and well, so I do it that I become happy and well, or after the sit, I need to be happy and well. But it's just this well-wishing. And likewise with your wish, may I be filled with love. You know, if it's just this genuine wish with no expectation attached to it, then fine.
Yes, but I was hoping and getting, you know, to be in more ease or more happy, and I had expectations. And it worked out.
Good. But, you know, at least you were aware there was some expectation. And, of course, you know, that's also part of the practice, to see if we attach some expectation or if we hope for a certain outcome of the practice. You know, if there were no expectation and no, you know, then that would already be quite a deep level of our metta practice. But of course, you know, the hindrances or the defilements are still accompanying us. But, you know, we do as best as we can. Maybe one last question, short one.
I don't know if it's a short one.
Yes, please.
It's about the first one shared when you radiate metta to a neutral person, then it gets not neutral anymore. I noticed that also. So it also gets a little bit personal then, I don't know, or relational. I radiated metta to a new neighbor in the place where we are going to live. I saw her in passing by, and that's it. And suddenly I noticed the near enemy started to come up. And my question is, how I dealt with that was putting the meta phrase towards myself, may I be at ease with this, seeing this near enemy come up. And later on also a far enemy came up just in the mind. And then, yeah, the strategy, or the instruction is ignore it and go to the objects you wish metta for. So is it okay to for a short moment to radiate metta for yourself or for the purification maybe that comes up? May I be at ease with that? What comes up and then go on? Is that a strategy or just ignore it? What's your opinion about it?
Thank you, Jerome. That can also be a strategy to deal with it. You know, one could be just acknowledge it, note it, and go on. And you know, with the kind of trying not to feed the attachment or, you know, the far enemy. But what you did, you know, then for a moment, may I be at ease with this? This is also a workable strategy to deal with it.
Thank
All right. So then we go on with the metta chants. And I would like to start with the one on page 5, the metta in deed, speech, and thought. So then we will start.
Whenever your action is suffused with metta, you will be treated with respect and kindness. Forever remember with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. Whenever your speech is suffused with metta, speaking words that are sweet, beneficial, and pleasing to hear, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. Whenever your thoughts are suffused with metta, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world.
And then next, we do the Frida, which is on the next page, page 6. We'll do it a number of times, and if you wish and are able to, you can do it as a canon. Find the tone to start. Wir beginnen. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Frieda für uns alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsch ich mir. Frieda wünsch ich dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Wünsch ich mir und Frieden.
da wünsche ich dir Friede für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. And as the last chant, we will go to the last page. That's the sharing of blessings. It's not a metta chant, but it's sharing all the blessings, meaning all the goodness that we have created through our practice, with our life, all the good beneficial qualities. Here, cultivating kindness, friendliness, unconditional love, but also being patient, being perseverant, living a virtuous life, or being generous. So bringing up to our heart and mind all this goodness that we have done today or yesterday, the past week, sharing it with all living beings for their well-being and happiness, and dedicating it for our continuing to walk on this path towards liberation, of freeing the heart and mind from all that obstructs inner peace and happiness, and that obstructs peace and happiness for other beings in this world. So we begin through the goodness that arises. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of Death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nibbana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble guide. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all this, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Yeah.
So with this, we conclude this online session. We continue with the group interviews. And today, Ivy Ranjani has the group F, and I have the group C. So we start in 15 minutes from now. I wish you a fruitful, ongoing practice with this neutral person. See you soon or tomorrow again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.